and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our senior pastor, Roy Sutherland.
If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to encourage you to open with me or look on your Bible on your phone to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Let me ask you a question while you're looking there this morning. How many of you have lost something lately? Men, how many of you have lost the remote this week? I know. Isn't it fun when you find it? Don't you get excited when, you know, you blamed it on the dog, you blamed it on the wife, and you wonder where she hid it because she didn't want you watching the sports shows, but you find that remote. How many of you have been lost driving this week? If you're over 55, you need to raise your hand. Because, you know, once you reach 55 and you start driving, you're in a neighborhood and you're thinking, what am I doing here? And who drove me here? And you're the only one in the car. You've got the steering wheel in your hand. We find ourselves lost often. As a matter of fact, if it were not for Waze or some of the GPS on some of our phones these days, we probably would never be able to get from point A to point B. I mean, it's hard even to get home. It's always bad when you lose something, but there's always a sense of relief and joy when you find it. We have been in the middle of a series, and perhaps even today this will wrap up our series. We'll be preaching, of course, every week we preach on the gospel, but we've been highlighting in the new year and focusing and re-stressing the need as individuals who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who've been touched by the gospel, to share the gospel more, to help people to come to know the Christ that we know. This morning, as we look in Luke chapter 15, the emphasis is going to be on the joy of the gospel, the joy of the gospel, the joy that comes when the lost are found. You know, we get excited when we lose silly stuff. We really do. We lose our keys. We lose our hats. By the way, some of you need to look outside. There have been some hats left for a long time here. We lose our coats, and we go home. We blame somebody for taking our coat. Nobody took your coat. It's hanging out in the foyer. It's out there. We just lose stuff, and when we find it, we get so excited about that. This week, I was watching the news, and you know, there are people that get lost. Children get lost, and this is one of those weeks where, on the good side, a child got lost, but it was found alive. He was found alive. There's joy that comes when those that are lost or that which is lost is found. Even much more so on a spiritual sense. When those who are outside of the grace of God, who've not tasted and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and become a follower of His, when they are lost in their sin, but all of a sudden, by the grace of God, the mercy of God, the witness of a believer, circumstances, situations in life that God directs, they come to know Christ and are found. The Bible says there's great rejoicing. Great rejoicing in heaven over those. So let's read Luke this morning. Chapter 15, beginning with verse 1, as we stress the joy of the gospel, the lost being found. It says, "Then drew near unto Jesus all the tax collectors, the publicans, and the sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receives sinners, and he eats with them." Now let me just pause there for just a moment. It's interesting to me that as believers today, that we can be guilty of living our lives like the Pharisees and the scribes. We don't want to acknowledge that, but we can be. As those who've tasted the grace of God, if we're not careful, we can be judgmental, and we disassociate with people who need the gospel. We seem to pull away. And one of the things that I would encourage us in today is this: some of us need to reassociate with lost people. We do not know. We don't have them in our circles of life. We need more lost people that we're associating with. These sinners and publicans, tax collectors, have come to Jesus, and the Pharisees murmur. They're upset at Jesus because they said, "This man not only eats with sinners, but he welcomes them. He receives them into his presence. We need to reevaluate our attitude toward those who are outside of Christ today and our direction that we're going to take. And because of the circumstance in which Jesus was in, knowing that he was sitting and eating and welcoming sinners, chief sinners, tax collectors, knowing that those who thought they were religious and on the right track, who thought they were doing the right things, the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus takes this opportunity to share some earthly stories, some parables, some situations with them so that he can direct their attention to a higher spiritual truth. And he does it by relating to the lost being found, lost stuff being found, lost things being found. And he tells them three parables. Now, I want us to look at these parables. It says, and so he spoke this parable first unto them, saying, what man of you has 100 sheep, if he has 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and he goes after that which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders. There's that word, rejoicing. When the lost is found, no matter what it is, even if it's a sheep, there's rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And then he tells them a second parable about a coin that is lost. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, Jesus says, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. And then he told them a third story, a third parable. He said, a certain man had 2 sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And so he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. He took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. He began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave him anything. But then verse 17, which is a marvelous verse, when he came to himself. Can I pause here for just a moment? Would you look at me, please? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, do you remember the moment when you finally came to yourself? When it dawned on you that there had to be something better for you, something better in your life, a better way of life, a better hope. You were tired of life and you came to yourself. That doesn't just happen. Those are the moments that God comes. The Bible says he came to himself. And he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, but I perish with hunger. I will arise. I will go to my father and I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. And I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Take me as one of your hired servants. And so he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. He had compassion. He ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed his son. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned in your sight and I'm not even worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, put shoes on his feet, bring out the fatted calf, kill it. Let's eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. If there's any one thing that the church in America needs today, it's a good dose of joy. A good dose of joy that comes from seeing those who are lost found. Now that is not going to just happen. It's not just going to happen. It's not just going to appear. The people that we know that do not know Jesus yet, they're not just going to come one day to Christ without an effort on our part led by the Spirit of God. That is the key, of course. But I'm afraid that many of us have been disobedient or are not listening and obedient to the Spirit of God leading us as a part of the body of Christ to reach the lost that are out there wandering aimlessly, lost supposedly like a sheep or a coin that's lost or a son that's lost. And so this morning, I want to encourage you again. I want to try to encourage myself. All of us know people who do not know Jesus, right? People who we see. And we want them to come to know Christ. Let me take some lessons from Jesus this morning and share them with you that will help me and you do better at reaching the lost, at sharing the gospel, and experiencing the joy of heaven, the rejoicing that comes, that takes place. You remember, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember, and you can use what term you want, when you were saved or when you came to faith in Christ, when your life was changed, when you were born again. Use whatever phrase. You know if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember the joy that came when you came to know Him. I never will forget the day. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing compares to that, does it? You remember that moment when you came to know Christ, the joy that you experienced? We need to experience that more as a church body and as families and as communities. And so this morning, I want to encourage you and I to think about some things out of these parables, these stories that will help us to be more effective at seeing the joy of the gospel, the lost being found in our families, in our homes, in our lives, in our churches. Three words, if you want to write these down, you can write them down real quick. Write down these three words: priority, passion, and patience. Priority, passion, and patience. These are the things that it's going to take that Jesus teaches us. If we want to see our families change, our world change, our community change, people we love and know, people we work with, come to the gospel and experience the joy of the gospel, and us be able to experience that with them, and then a party in heaven break out, we're going to have to employ these three words. They're going to have to be a part of our life. The first thing I want us to look at is priority. We find that in the parable of the lost sheep. Jesus tells not only the sinners and the publicans that are there, but the scribes and the Pharisees that are listening, that if a shepherd has 100 sheep and 99 of them are safe, they're safe with him. Now, we don't understand these parables because we don't live in the Middle East, and I don't think any of you are sheep herders. Last time I checked. And not knowing the context of this text, it's hard to understand this, but Pastor Kenny can tell you a whole lot more about it. Those of us who have been to the Middle East can tell you a little bit more about it, because driving even through the countryside, you see the shepherds with their sheep. Many of them have a large herd of sheep. But every evening it is known, those shepherds, when they gather their sheep, every evening they count the sheep. Our last Christmas program, we had some young men dressed as shepherds, and one of them who's sitting here was counting sheep. He was having a hard time because the sheep were constantly moving. But that shepherd counts his sheep, and he knows how many sheep he has. And this is a large flock to have 100 sheep. He has 100 sheep, Jesus says, and he counts that evening. He's putting them all together. He's trying to get them in his fold, and he gets them together, and he starts counting. And he says, wait a minute. There's 99, but where's the one? I'm missing one. Where is he? And he starts, and no doubt he counts again, and he counts again, and finally he decides there's a sheep missing. Now he has two options. He can stay with his sheep, with the 99, or he can prioritize. He can say the 99 are safe. Jesus says he knows the 99 are safe. He will leave those 99. He will go out and he will search until he finds the one sheep that is lost. And when he finds that sheep, prioritizing that sheep is his priority. The 99 are fine, but the one is important. That sheep that means so much to him, that means so much to his life and to his family. He goes out, he finds that one. No doubt you can't imagine perhaps what condition the sheep is in. But he picks up the sheep, he puts him on his own shoulders, And he goes home and he calls his family together and he calls his neighbors together. He says, rejoice with me because what I made a priority has now come to pass. I found my sheep, which was lost. He is now found. Rejoice with me. And then Jesus says, there's greater joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over that lost sheep or 99 that need no repentance. When's the last time you prioritized a lost person in your life to say, listen, I've got to do something. I've got to reach them. I've got to make them my priority this year. That's why a little bit later we'll be encouraging you that were not with us last week to help us to know who you're praying for, who's your priority this year. Now, there'll be others that will come your way in your circle of influence, but who is it you're praying for that we can pray with you about? And then to take the steps to go. Now, listen to me. This is hard for church folks, and you're all church folks because you're here. So you're church folks. We get too comfortable with the 99. It'd been a whole lot easier for that shepherd to stay with his 99. It was dark out there. It might have been stormy outside. It was treacherous out there. The area was dangerous that he was going into. And sometimes, listen to me, we feel as though we're going into a dangerous arena to take the gospel to some people. When's the last time you went to that uncomfortable area because there was somebody there that needed Christ? And you know they do, but you've not been there. But this year, it's your priority. If we're going to see lost people come to know Jesus Christ, if we're going to share the gospel with them in a loving way and pray for them and build bridges into their life, we need to prioritize. Make the one the important thing. Leave the 99. Some of us, listen, you want to make your pastor happy? You're going to say, Pastor, don't tell us to do this. I give you permission next Sunday morning, instead of coming here, find somebody lost, go to their home and love on them and tell them about Jesus. You say, no, I'd rather be at church. Yeah, because that's easier, isn't it? It's easier to be at church. It's easier to be with the 99. But if we're going to reach the lost, we're going to have to prioritize going to the one, to the one. But not only do we need to prioritize, there's a second word found in the second parable or that's related in the second parable that I want us to look at. We must prioritize as if it's that one lost sheep that we're looking for. But then he tells a parable about a coin, a lost coin, in verses 8 through 10. He says, what woman has 10 pieces of silver, 10 silver coins? And yes, she loses one. What's she going to do? He says she's going to light a candle. She's going to sweep the house. She's going to seek diligently until she finds it. And when she finds it, she's going to call her neighbors or friends and rejoice. You see, for us today, when we see coins on the ground, many of you, it better not be a coin because you're not bending over. A $10 bill, maybe. Okay? But most of us, we see coins, we walk right by them. But this silver coin probably was worth a day's labor. It had great value. Just like that sheep had value to the shepherd, this coin had great value to this woman. It was most likely a drachma, a silver coin worth at least a day's labor, equal probably to a denarius, a Roman denarius. And that coin was of great value. And so she's not set to just to say, hey, in the morning I'll look for that. Tomorrow I'll look for that, or next week I'll look for that. No. She lights a candle, a lamp, and she diligently, that word is key, diligently means with passion. She's not quitting till she finds her coin. Now, we're fortunate today. Most of you have a phone on you somewhere, and it has a flashlight. If you've got the flat, most of you have a flashlight app on that coin. And that flashlight is invaluable to us, isn't it? I was working this past week. Kenny was at the house. I was outside in my barn working on my UTV trying to get a snow plow because I figured it was going to snow again. And I was working on that snow plow, and I dropped a bolt and a washer, and I looked at, I couldn't find that rascal anywhere. So I got my flashlight out, and I hit that app, and it was amazing what a difference the light made. I would have searched forever, but I had to take the time to get my phone and get a light because I wanted to find that bolt. Think about that lost coin of greater value. And think about that lost brother or sister that you have, or mother, or friend, or son, or grandson, or granddaughter. what great value they are. And they're not just going to come to Christ. No, you're going to have to, with passion, diligently stay in tune with their life and involved in their life. And stay with it and stay with it and stay with it and pray for it, encourage. Don't badger, don't push, but lovingly share Jesus as God gives opportunity, showing them Christ and living for Christ so that one day you see that lost member of your family found. And there was rejoicing over it. Now, this is going to be strange to some of you, and some of you probably think it's probably too outdated. I don't know that it is. Matter of fact, I think probably there's a place for it, and some of us don't use it enough. We just need to be more focused on finding those with being passionate about sharing the gospel with people in our lives. But when I was growing up in the churches, when I was a part of churches growing up, we had an evangelistic outreach night every week in the church. One night a week was picked for evangelism, for outreach. You'd go, and it was always a scary thing because you didn't know who they were going to give you. They give you assignments. Anybody remember that? This is your assignment. Okay, I want you to take this person. And you got a little bit of information on them, but you don't know a lot about them, you know. And you're trying to show. I'm not saying that's the best way, but there was an intentional effort anyway to prioritize and have passion to get the gospel to people that were lost. Perhaps it was somebody that was given to them. But when I was lost, when my family was outside of Christ and we did not know Jesus Christ and we were a big family, there were people praying for us that we didn't know were praying for us. And there were people that loved us that we didn't even know loved us. There was a church that cared about us that we didn't even know that they cared about us the way that they did. And every week there would be people that would stop by our house and try to tell us more about Jesus. And they did it in a loving way. They were never unkind. We knew them. They knew us. They would stop by just about every week. Well, my dad was a hard case. My dad grew up, many of you have heard the story. My dad grew up without a family. His dad died when he was 5. His mom died when he was 12. He was a hobo most of his young adult life. And he just had a hard life. Didn't know how to trust people. Didn't want to trust people. He just had a hard, hard life, and it was not easy for people to build bridges in his life. But over the process of time, years, our pastor began to build into my dad's life and got to know him pretty intimately, and he'd see him in the neighborhood and he would invest in his life. And then because we were farmers, we didn't own any farmland, but we farmed everybody's land. My dad was in charge of crews and we were always working the fields. And one of the men that we worked the fields in was his name was Buddy Mayo. And Buddy was a bus driver. He was my bus driver as well. We called him Nutty Buddy. Now, we were kids. We didn't know any better, you know. But Nutty Buddy was a godly man. He was a godly man, a godly deacon in our church. And so he began to decide that in this particular year, he was going to win my dad to faith in Jesus Christ. But there was one problem, only one, and it was a big one. If Dad knew they were coming, he was not going to be home. He always ran. He would literally, if he knew they were coming, if he saw their car pull up in the driveway, he'd hit the back door, he'd be out to the barn or walking across the field, he was going somewhere. Now that is nothing. Listen, when people run like that, it's not that they're scared of you, they're under the conviction of the Spirit of God. That's what that means. They know they need something. They know they need change. They know that God's trying to draw them and they're afraid, they're fearful in the sense of they don't understand and they're under strong conviction. And my dad would run every time he would hit the door. There were times when we weren't, what's going on? Dad'd be going out the back door. All of a sudden be a knock on the front door. I don't know if he had an ear listening for Buddy and Ernest Mayo, who was our pastor, but once a week. So I didn't know this and my dad didn't know this, but they told us this later. They had a plan, just like this lady had a plan to find her coin. And they weren't going to quit. They were going to be diligent at it until they saw a lost man saved, if at all possible, the one that God had put on their heart. And so Buddy Maddox, who knew my dad well, figured out what was going on. Nobody had to snitch on him. Nobody had to tell on him. We would just say, he's not there. He's not here. So Buddy Maddox said to Ernest Mayo one time, they were coming to visit us. They were looking for a lost coin. and the limp for Buddy Maddox was this. Buddy said, now listen, Ernest, you let me out up the road, about a mile up the road. I'm going to walk down to the house. You give me 10 minutes, I'm going to walk to the house. I'm going to the back door. Then you're coming to the front door. My dad's name was Bozo, nickname was Bozo. And when Bozo comes to the back door, I'm going to greet him at the back door. That's called diligence. We laugh at it today. Literally, it is a funny story. But that's called diligence. That's prioritizing and having passion about trying to get the gospel to someone that your heart is so broken and heavy for, that you know is under the conviction of God, that you know God is able to change, that you know you've seen the little signs, and you believe without a doubt. And so on that particular night, I remember it. I remember it well. When Daddy heard the knock on the door, he jumped to run, and when he opened the back door, there stood Buddy Maddox. And Buddy said, "Bozo, where are you going?" "What do you say?" "Nowhere." And they turned, and they went back in the house. They shared Jesus with my dad. And that night, my dad's life was changed forever. Forever. But it didn't just happen. No, it took diligence. Someone willing to do what it took so that they could share. And listen, my dad knew those men loved him. This wasn't just a, no. These were men that he knew loved him. They cared about him, and they cared about his family. Just like this lady treasured her coin. And with diligence, with passion, there was fruit. You want to know something? We rejoiced as a family because there was nobody we knew that we wanted to come to Christ more than our dad. But there was a greater party in heaven, because as the coin was found, the woman said that you come and rejoice with me. And Jesus said, likewise, I say that there is joy in the presence of the angels. And they don't even know what they're rejoicing over, because angels don't need salvation. But there's joy in the presence of the angels. We must not only prioritize, we must be passionate about what we're trying to do and get in the gospel to people that need the gospel. And then lastly, not only priority, not only passion, but patience. Verse 11, Jesus tells them the parable of a son, a wayward son, a lost son, one who left the home, took his inheritance, decided to go do his own thing. It's a picture of many in our world today, is it not? He goes to a country, he wastes all of his money, he has nothing at all left. He's living with the pigs. There's so much in this text, you know I could preach for hours. There's so many sermons in that text and what is related in that text. Here he is, probably a Jewish boy feeding pigs, eating, if he had to, the husk. If it came to that, he was going to eat the husk that he fed the pigs. But then he came to himself. And he had a conversation. I don't know who with. He must have talked to the pigs. He must have had a conversation with those pigs. Said, "What's wrong with me? What in the world? I can have something better than this." The Bible says he came to himself and he thought, "I'll just go home and I'll tell my dad, I'm not worthy to be your son. Can I just be a servant? Just hire me as a servant. I've shamed you. I've shamed everything. And everybody, just hire me as a son." But there was a difference. When he started home, Dad was looking for him. That's interesting. These texts are interesting. There's a lot in these texts. There's a lot of play on words, and there's a lot of motivation that we can't read into the mind of Christ. But in the first two situations, the shepherd went in and searched for his sheep. The lady, little candle, she had a light, and she searched for her coin. But this was not the case with this one. The dad patiently waited. He waited and he waited. He didn't try to find his son, but he didn't give up on his son. Not one moment had he lost hope that his wayward son would be coming home. I believe the scriptures infer here that every day he watched, every day he waited, every day he prayed. He had prayed for that son. I believe the son knew how loved he was before he ever left. And he waited, and he waited, and he prayed, and he waited. And then when the son started home, Dad saw him first. And he runs to meet his son, having patiently waited for him to return home, knowing that he'd done all he could do. He'd loved him. He'd shared his love with him, and he waits and he waits and he waits, believing that the boy one day is going to understand how much he is loved, how much I care. And the day happens, and he returns home, and the dad says, "No way are you going to not be my son. Get a robe for my boy. Get a ring on his finger. Put shoes on his feet. By the way, that calf that we've been feeding, we started feeding him for this day. Kill the calf. Gather everybody together. My son was lost, but he's now found." The Bible says, and they were merry. They were filled with joy. Some of us feel as though, and this I hope will encourage you, if you've shared your faith with people that you love, maybe it's a family, maybe it's a son that's wavered, or daughter, like I said, or a grandson, or a friend that you love dearly, and you've seen them turn Christ away and walk away from the gospel and say, "I don't need that. I don't want that. I'm going to do my own thing." But you're praying faithfully for them, and you're praying for God to work in their life. Be patient. But not just patient in waiting. Wait with hope. Pray daily for them. That's why these cards are important. That's why I wanted you to fill out a card to say, "Would you pray with me for this person?" And don't lose hope. Listen, I can remind you again, some of you, I'm looking at some of you, you were a long ways off too when the Father found you. You were way out there. There were people that didn't think God could do it. But guess what? He did he not? Because somebody prayed for you. Somebody cared about you. Somebody loved you. And somebody waited as they prayed. And they patiently waited and believed by faith. One of my former pastors, the first pastor I ever served with, Brother Kinsey, James Kinsey, his sister had a husband who was no good. He was no good. He was just no good. He didn't care for the family. He didn't care about anything. He was just a lost man that lived a lost life. And way up in the years, Brother Kinsey was preaching a revival, and he said that sister of his came. And I believe it was sister. I stand to be corrected on this. I think it was his sister. I remember the story well anyway. She came after that revival meeting. She came after that end of that service where her husband came. He'd not been to revival. He'd not been to church, but he came to church that night. And he came to trust Christ that night. That lady stood and she took and opened her Bible. And she had a prayer card that she'd kept in her Bible for 40 years. And every day, she would look at that card and she would pray for her husband who was lost. And she believed God. And when he came to faith in Christ, this sounds strange, but she told the congregation she knew it was going to happen. It was just a matter of time. Why? Because she believed by faith that she had shared the seed. She had planted the seed. She'd watered the seed. She trusted God and she believed for her husband that he would come to faith. Now, does that always work? I don't know, but it worked for her. And Jesus is teaching us here, listen, be patient with those who are wayward and who are lost. Listen to me, church members, look at me. Some of you need to sit down with those people who are struggling with sexual identity. You say, I can't talk to them. You need to talk to them. They need Jesus too. Their sin is a sin. Your sin is a sin, whatever. We need to have conversations in hopes of being able to get to know them, sharing Jesus with them, pointing them to the one that can change their life. We've got to leave the 99. We've got to say it's worth it. Whatever it takes, it's worth it to sweep the house, to sweep the room. No. Vacuum cleaners. None of that easy stuff. No. It's worth it. And it's worth it to know that we've prayed and we've wept. Can you only imagine if you're a dad here and you've got a wayward son and you love your son, how much that dad had wept over his son? All we can do is imagine the hours he spent weeping, knowing his son was wayward. He hadn't heard from him. He hadn't heard anything. But then he sees him at a distance. My prayer is that this will be a year that there will be great rejoicing in heaven and in the presence of God's people as we see those that we love, we pray for, we share with, we love on. We don't push, we don't prod. We lovingly point them to the one that's changed our life, as imperfect as we are, and tell them the truth that Jesus has a plan. Matt read it this morning, Jeremiah. God has plans that are good plans. Plans to prosper, to do good, for a future and an end. And it's up to us to point them to the Lord Jesus.
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.